today we're going to be going through Romans 5 through 11. The title of the message is Peace and Joy. And really, you know, we sang songs, you know, the 100 billion song just about God speaking, you know, and the power of God's word is really important. When we speak God's word, you know, something happens. Something happens when we share God's word. And so I'm always, you know, very much blessed by the opportunity to share God's word, to preach here. The opportunity that I have, it's a big blessing to be able to do this. It's a little frightening to some degree, but it's also a big blessing. And then, you know, I get to share the words of God. So today we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So let's go ahead. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time this morning. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for this fellowship of believers that you've put together here in Toccoa, Georgia. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to grow together in love, to grow together in the knowledge of you and be conformed to your image. Lord, I pray that today, as we hear your word, that you would speak to each one of us. Lord, I pray that your word would go out in power today and that we would be moved and transformed. Thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you for building this church here in Toccoa. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So looking back in the book of Romans, it starts out in chapter 1, you know, Paul talks about God's wrath against humanity. He's setting up the case that we're all guilty, we're all in need of justification. Then in chapter 2, he talks about God's judgment. He lets us know that we're all without excuse. You know, so this is all kind of setting up towards Romans chapter 5, peace and joy. In chapter 3, he talks about God's faithfulness. But he also talks about how no one's righteous and that how we can't be justified by living according to the law. And then in chapter 4, we get to understand how God justifies us through faith. And so now here we're starting in chapter 5, where we hear how we can receive peace and joy through that justification. So today's the title of the message is Peace and Joy. These are two characteristics that are pretty well lacking in today's world. You know, if any time, and it's probably not just today's world, it's the world in general since the beginning of time. But when you hear things that are happening on the world stage with all the conflicts and all the hate and all the divisions between people over whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There is not peace and joy in the world. That's just as pertinent to us today, in today's world, as it was back when the Apostle Paul was writing this to the churches, that peace and joy, it's something that's lacking, that we don't have as human beings without the work of the Lord. So let's read through together. I'm reading out of NIV. It's Romans chapter 5, and we're reading verses 1 through 11. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So, this is kind of, you know, three different sections here. You've got the first little bit where it talks about, let's just go through verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace which in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." So it's kind of an order of events here. We've been justified, we have peace with God, we have access into His grace, and we rejoice in the hope that we've been given. So what does it mean to be justified? Does anybody have a good definition of the word justified in your mind? John Piper says that being justified before God and being forgiven by God are not identical, but to be justified in a courtroom is not the same as being forgiven. Being forgiven implies that I am guilty and my crime's not counted, but being justified implies that I have been tried and found innocent, that my claim is just and I'm vindicated. The judge says not guilty. So this is the difference. We've been justified through faith. So we've been found not guilty of our sins. And that's amazing. It's like it's never happened. This justification puts us in a place of sinlessness, absolute sinlessness. It's like it never happened. So this is the good news that Paul's talking about earlier on in Romans when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So here, this justified through faith, we have peace with our God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The holy and righteous God can't be at peace with a sinner. While the guilt of sin still remains, justification takes that guilt away completely. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold on to and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So these two verses here, they can completely remove any feeling of inadequacy that the believer could ever have. When the enemy comes against you and wants to bring up their past sins, your guilt, your shame, your all these things, they don't exist because the blood of Christ has justified you. That's something that's amazing. That is part of the good news, the gospel. None of this is done in our own strength. And since it's not done in our own working, rather it's the working of God Himself, we can securely stand on the work that He's done. Not the work that we've done, but the work that He's done. Knowing that we're justified through faith and that we indeed do have peace with God through Jesus. And also through Jesus, we've gained access into the grace that we're standing in, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. So I think, you know, it's really good to know this and to have this firm foundation, this justification, this grace to bring us peace and joy. I remember this, just having a promise of God. One of the things that thankfully God's given me a wonderful wife. And, you know, a lot of times when we're trying to make decisions about what should we do, you know, direction changes in our lives. Let's pray about it. What is the Lord saying? You know, we pray, we try to listen to what He's saying, you know, and look for scripture that confirms what He's saying to us. In that way, we know, having heard the Lord, this is what we believe the Lord's telling us. Then whenever difficulties come, we can look back and say, you know what? We believe that we're walking in what the Lord's told us to do. We believe that we're walking by faith here. So you can step forward into that. And that's, you know, having that foundation, you know, is like that. We know that we've been justified through faith and that He's done this work. And so when the guilt and the enemy tries to bring, you know, those accusations against us, we can know that they are no longer valid. Verses 3 through 5, it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So here's another kind of order of operations. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. But rejoicing in sufferings and afflictions, is that, it comes from knowing what they're going to, produce. You know, in Hebrews 12:12, about Jesus, it says that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And He knew what the suffering on the cross was going to produce, you know, and so He counted it as joy. He knew that it was going to produce peace between God and man, and it would also allow us to be brought into His kingdom. The joy that was set before Him, this is what allowed Him to endure the suffering on the cross. So it's the joy that was set before Him that would produce peace, our theme for today, peace and joy. So reading through the Greek literal translation for verse 3, the word rejoice is also shown as boast. So the literal translation of that Greek word, it says to boast in our afflictions, to boast, to praise, to honor God, to glory in the fact that he's counted us worthy to suffer in these ways, because we know on the other side what it's going to produce. You know, in any instance, you know, you have to have in a construction zone, you've got plastic over, maybe you've got some OSB covering things from falling on people's heads. You have scaffolding, you have all these things in place, but they are necessary to accomplish the task that actually of building whatever's being, you know, constructed there. And I think the same way, some of our sufferings, there are these necessary apparatuses that are in place that allow the work to be done. And if we said, well, we can't stand them, we, you know, just get rid of them, you know, why not rather boast in them, thank and praise God in them? It's something that is, I think, only done through the grace of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, kind of going back to that other verse, we're talking about the grace that we're standing in. So he does give us the grace for that. Boasting is also shown as it's giving praise to God. And we're instructed here to praise God for the sufferings in our lives. While I was in Canada on the leadership retreat, one of the men in our small group, his name's Norm. And so Norm gave a testimony. And so talking about perseverance here, that suffering produces perseverance, while we were there, I thought, I'd like to take a video of you and have you just share this testimony so I could play it for the guys, or play it for the church on Sunday when I speak. But we didn't have the time to do that. And so I wrote to him on Messenger and asked him, could he please, you know, share that testimony with me, because I have the very kind of scaled down version of my listening ability, you know, without taking notes. And so Mandy can attest to that fact that I may not have had all the details there. So I actually wrote to him, and while Bo was giving announcements, I feel this buzzing in the Facebook Messenger. So he's actually giving the testimony. So now, rather than the shortened version that I had in my notes here, I'm going to read to you here what he said. And this is talking about perseverance, you know, really being steadfast. So here it is. Here's the testimony. Norm Sazalak, I think, is how you say his last name. Huh? Sazalak is the correct pronunciation. I haven't grown up in a Christian family, but have been praying for them for over 30 years. The most significant person in my life is my sister, as when my mom was a single mom, she was the one who kind of raised me. My family has a Jehovah's Witness background, so religion isn't an easy conversation. Well, about 3 years ago, my sister got diagnosed with breast cancer. This started us to have great faith talks. She had surgery and chemo, so the cancer seemed to be dealt with until November 2017. My sister found out that the cancer's come back, stage 4. 2 lumps in her spine and 1 near her heart. The locations meant they couldn't get a biopsy, not allowing them to know what kind or form, thus not being able to diagnose. So my sister called me early in February 2018, telling me about the intense fear that she was feeling. I was at Starbucks when I got the call. I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me with boldness and wisdom. My sister's often helping people, and I said, Bonnie, you've often tried to help and even save people. I don't think I would be where I am without you. But when is it that you need a Savior? So this past year, I was able to pray for my sister to ask Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I've been praying for her for 30 plus years. I wasn't expecting a miracle this day, and I was kind of prayed, but I don't think I had any boast of faith. It was the Lord. So it continues. I asked my sister, what is the one thing you would like Jesus to do today? She said to not be afraid, so I prayed. The next day I asked, how are you? All my fears are gone. But the story doesn't end there. We're at a prophetic conference at the same month, and during the worship, I feel the Lord speak to me. If I can save your sister, I can heal her. I cried like a baby. I've seen him move a mountain, and I believe he can do it again. Well, during this time, my sister miraculously got connected with another doctor. Her first doctor didn't feel he could do anything, but gave him a referral. This doctor said, let's try this chemo drug. You'll have to go on with it for 4 months, and we'll see what happens. Anyhow, this takes us up to June. She has to go back for her checkup. The doctor came and said, you're free, and left to go and get her charts. She's thinking, free? Free to what? What do you mean? The doctor says, this cancer is gone. What do you mean? 2 lumps on my spine, 1 near my heart, not there? Yes, not there. All I can say is keep doing what you're doing and receive your miracle. If I was honest, because of not being able to get a biopsy, we don't know if anything would work. This was a shot in the dark. Knowing it means it has about 5 to 10% chance of being the right medication. God is amazing. After 30 years of praying for my sister, I received the greatest miracle, not by my faithfulness, but by His faithfulness. I can only say that one of the things that during this process of cancer, my prayers increased. I had my cell group at the church praying for my sister, the power of corporate prayer. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, I'll hear their prayer and heal the land. So this, talking about perseverance, 30 plus years. So how long have we waited and prayed and trusted God for something, for a miracle, for something beyond the work of man, salvation, healing from cancer? So that's the type of perseverance that we're sometimes called into. So do not throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. So that's it. Suffering produces perseverance. You'll want to have that kind of perseverance. The word perseverance also translates as patience. You know, when we're patient, we're waiting on something. And speaks of knowing that there's something on the way and being satisfied and waiting for it, or maybe even anticipating, excited about waiting for it to happen. While we're patiently waiting for something, we know what's coming, and so we eagerly anticipate it. Now, an example, you know, let's say like myself, if I ordered something online, you know, let's say it's some super cool electronic instrument, and I can't wait for this thing to come in. So even while I'm waiting and I'm checking the tracking numbers four times a day, you know, it might even take a little bit of time, start reading the manual. I may download the driver so that when I plug it into my computer, it's ready to go. But all this stuff, I'm going to make preparations. I'm going to get ready for this so that when it comes, because I'm patiently waiting for it. And I think that's it. When we're persevering and we're patiently waiting for the Lord, we're not just sitting around being idle, but we actually know this is coming. And so we can actively pursue, you know, taking and getting the most out of it while we wait. So perseverance produces character. So character, the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. All right, that's pretty simple, basic Webster's Dictionary type definition. But the word character also translates, you know, in literal translation from Greek, as proof, a trial, or tried, approved character. So perseverance, it causes us to be conformed to the character of Christ. You know, we're tried, we're proved, we're approved. And this is the type of character. It's not just, character just doesn't come around from, okay, you know, I was born this way. We've gone through the thick. We've persevered. And the character gets produced. That character, that proof of who we are, of that we really do know what the promises of God are and that they're going to be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. So perseverance produces proof. Here again, we can see how we can rejoice in the sufferings because here we know what's being produced. A tried and approved character gets developed in us. So I believe we need to be encouraged in this because it's the tendency of most people kind of to shy away from the idea of suffering. In this passage, we're embracing it, even boasting about it. So now that character's been developed, this is producing hope. So I think the general usage of the word hope, it isn't the same as what's happening here. We aren't hoping that the Falcons will win the Super Bowl or something like that. You know, this kind of, oh, well, I hope this happens, and we don't have any kind of real belief that it ever will. But, you know, we hope we're talking about here is one that doesn't disappoint us, like the verse here says, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us. You know, hoping that the Falcons are going to go to the Super Bowl or going to win the Super Bowl, you know, I mean, that's probably going to disappoint. The hope that's been produced here is one that's confirmed by the love that God pours into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So it's confirmed by here in this verse, it says, and hope doesn't disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So again, this isn't something that can be taken away. It isn't something that we have power to, you know, to take away from ourselves or, you know, from anybody else has power to take away from us. It doesn't depend on the performance of people. It doesn't depend on our performance. It's a work of God. And again, it's the work of God himself bringing us into the possession of peace and joy. So here, moving on. You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So let's unwrap the word ungodly, because that might sound a little bit weak. You know, ungodly, we don't really think. So it comes across with the initial impact that it should. He undied for unholy, godless, irreligious, impious, blasphemous, profane, heathen, pagan, disrespectful, irreverent, immoral, corrupt, depraved, and sinful people. There's kind of some of the synonyms of ungodly. You know, that's who he died for. And, you know, while we were still powerless, we're completely powerless over this. He died for us when we were in that condition. We needed him to take our place because there's absolutely nothing we can do about the condition we found ourselves in. And he says here in verse 7 that very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So on our behalf, he took our suffering. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. This is the good news. You know, what God has done for us, what he's done on our behalf, you know, while we were still in that place of ungodliness. And, you know, think about, you know, just when somebody has been cruel and hateful, you know, it is very difficult to act in love towards that person. It's very difficult for us to look past, you know, the hurt. And this is exactly what Christ did, not only just loving us, but even giving his own life in that instance and in that place while we were totally powerless against it. So since we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So again, having been justified, we're having our crimes stricken from the record. We're saved from the wrath of God, and we're no longer in conflict with him. We're no longer in conflict with God. We're at peace with him. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We rejoice in God. This word rejoice, again, it's to boast in God. We've received the salvation and reconciliation through Jesus Christ, certainly worthy of rejoicing and boasting about. So how does this then tie back? How do we look at this? You know, going back to kind of the beginning of the whole passage here. So we've been justified through faith. So just kind of a summary. Here's the things, if you just kind of highlight we've been justified. We have peace with God. We have access to grace. We rejoice in the hope of God's glory. We rejoice in our sufferings, because perseverance produces character, character hope. Those things are produced in us. The love of God is poured into our hearts. We're saved from God's wrath. We're reconciled to God. We're saved through his life. And in this, we rejoice. Peace and joy is ours because of the work of Christ. I think this is an amazing thing, amazing story. And the bit about perseverance, it really kind of stuck out to me with Norm, that 30 plus years. I think about a lot of times the length of time I've persevered, let's say for, you know, praying for artists, you know, and it's been 12 years. And I think, wow, it's been such a long time, you know, and I haven't seen this healing yet that I've been praying for. But then, I mean, I wonder how many times Norm has thought, you know, in 30 years, will my sister ever be saved? Will she ever be changed? Will, you know, and then all of a sudden God moves and his power moves, and it's simply up to us to persevere. We don't know his timing on the things that we're praying for. We don't know his, you know, exactly how it's going to transpire, but we do know that he's called us to persevere. He's called us to stand firm, to not be swayed, you know, to know who we are, that we are justified, and then persevere in that. I think it's amazing, you know, knowing the power of something as simple as suffering in life because it's so prevalent. There's so many things that go on each and every day. And if we can look at those things rather than trying to escape them, rather than being upset at God, rather than being angry in those instances, but actually embrace and boast our sufferings, allow Him to construct and do the work of conforming us to His image, it's going to be powerful in our lives. It's going to move and it's going to transform us. It's going to make us into who He wants us to be. And it's going to make us effective believers. You know, that character that we have, the character of Christ in us, is going to be, you know, manifested in wherever we go. I know this too, that this helps to give us compassion and empathy for others who are going through hard times and suffering. And I think it is. It's not the, you know, the wrath of God that brings people to repentance. It's His kindness that brings people to repentance. And I think, you know, so many times allowing Him to work that kindness in us, you know, so that we can have compassion, so that we can really reach out and touch others on His behalf. You know, we are His hands and feet. We're the ones that He's called to do His work. So I would just like to invite, if you don't know Christ and you haven't had the opportunity to receive this justification, if you haven't received the good news, I really like to ask you at the end of the service, if you could come up, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to just lead you into knowing Him. We can pray together and receive that justification right away. Lord, I thank You so much for Your word. God, I thank You for the opportunity that we have to know You. And I pray, Lord, that You would just encourage us in our faith as we walk day to day. I pray that we would be more like You, that we would embrace the things that build this character and ultimately build our hope in You. Thank You for this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.